Welcome. You can be seated. I want to wish you mothers a blessed and happy Mother's Day. God bless you. So glad you're here. And those of you joining us online, happy Mother's Day to you as well. Well, second service, we're in a verse-by-verse study through the book of James, and today we're going to pick it up where we left off last week in chapter 2, verse 14. Lord willing, we'll finish the chapter today. So for those of you that are here, if you're able, I ask you to stand. You can follow along as I read. If not, where you're seated is just fine. James, by the Holy Spirit, is writing and says, verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" In the same way, verse 17, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." But, verse 18, someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person. You gotta love James, yeah? Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture, verse 23, was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Amen. Pretty self-explanatory. Should we just close in prayer? And let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Wow. Whew. This passage that we have before us today is one that rises to the level of really needing for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide. There's so much here that we need to not only hear but heed concerning our faith. So Lord, will you in the time that we have together today show us what it is that you want us to see, and speak to us what it is that you want us to hear. So, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I want to talk with you today about what may seemingly sound like an oxymoron or paradox in this sermon I've titled, "Faith That Works." I was going to title it Faith Works, but that messed me up. So I decided to go with Faith That Works. Now, I realize that this has the propensity to be somewhat contradictory, but here's the truth. One's works evidences one's faith. Yes, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. However, the result of that is that works, or if you prefer, good deeds, will always ensue. The best way I've heard this explained is that faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. It has good works with it. By the way, this is probably as good of a time as any to mention this, because this is one of those places in God's Word that the enemy does not want you to understand. And so he's going to bring up distractions and thoughts and try to get you to think about what you're going to do after and who's sitting next to you. Don't look at the person sitting next to you, and because he doesn't want you to hear this. This particular passage is a game changer in every sense of the word. So please don't let the enemy distract you or get your mind to wander away from what it is that God wants to do in our time together today. So faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It has good deeds with it. Another said it best this way. What saves a man is not faith and works, nor is it faith or works. It's only faith that works. We're saved by grace through faith and not of works, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. We know it as Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Stay with me. We're saved by grace through faith. Works has nothing to do with salvation, except as evidence of salvation, which we're going to talk about in a moment. And that's what James just got done saying. I mean, as bluntly as it can be said, you say you have faith and I have deeds. Cool. He didn't say cool, but I'll show you my faith by my deeds. In other words, put your faith where your mouth is. Is that was right, right? Tell me it was. Just, oh, you say you have faith, but I'm looking around and I'm looking at you and I'm going, really? You can say you have faith all you want. Yeah, I believe in God. Wow. So do the demons. How about that? I mean, think about that. You will never find a demon that's an atheist. Oh, thank you so much for getting that, because think about it, right? The demons, but hello, of course they believe. They believe in God, and they even believe in Jesus, and they know that Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. So you're all that, you know. Yeah, I believe. Okay. You're just like the demons. Don't do that. Don't say that to someone. That's not going to get you very far. It's going to start off the conversation in a very adversarial and combative way. Be gracious, you know. So why do we have to start this way because absent this fundamental understanding, the text that's before us today can be misconstrued. Because, see, Satan is right there and sadly has been met with a large measure of success in getting the Christian to blur the lines between faith and works. So we go to one extreme or the other. Well, I believe. I have faith. I've professed faith in Christ. Okay. Show me. No, I believe. Well, I got a demon over here. Let me introduce you. This is a... Is that too much? Okay. Well, you get the point. This is why James goes to great lengths to explain how it is that faith without the works that accompany it is useless. In fact, it's dead. So I want to share with you, you might find more. I found three, because that's what pastors do. We always organize our sermons into 3 points, right? So, but three reasons as to faith being evidenced by our good deeds and works. And the first one is in verses 14 through 16, and it's that faith is evidence of salvation, not necessary for salvation. Be careful. Again, the enemy is going to try to, you know, hey, works. No, not yet. I'm saved by grace through faith. Then the works come as evidence of faith. And that's what James is making very clear in no uncertain terms, that anyone can claim to have faith, but it's not saving faith if there's no deeds to accompany it. In other words, if you claim to have faith, it will be evidenced by the deeds you do, which in turn is evidence that you're saved. I know this might be an oversimplification, but I just think of that song, the children's song. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. True. You claim to have faith. You say you're saved, but I'm not being a judge like we talked about last week, but I'm a fruit inspector. Because by their fruits you shall know them. I'm looking at your fruit. I'm like, where is it? There's no fruit that's come from this root that you claim to have. Well, I want to get to this second one. And I think you'll see why here in a moment, because in verses 17 through 20, James is going to now expound on how that it is evidenced by action. And he brings up a good example again, like he's done heretofore, and you can't help but notice the strength with which James writes this concerning faith that's unaccompanied by action is dead. And this is where you gotta wonder, when the reader is reading this letter, this epistle that James writes by the Holy Spirit, when they got to that part, they're like, haw. Because they're local, right? So, haw, you know? Wait a minute. Even the demons believe this? Not only, hey, listen, not only do they believe it, they tremble. They tremble. So, and then he brings up this point of, okay, so you say you have faith, you claim to have faith, but let's just say for purpose of discussion that you cross paths with someone who needs food to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear. And you just walk on by. Hey, how you doing? Fine. Hey, we'll do lunch sometime. Bye. Can we do lunch now? I'm hungry. Oh, come on. This is what we do. We better be careful here. You know how it is when you ask someone, hey, how you doing? It's the customary formality. And we fully expect that they're going to respond with something along the lines of, hey, I'm fine, how are you? Blessed, all right, praise the Lord. And you walk on by. What would happen? That's even if they say something. And this isn't a say something, this is a see something. We'll come back to that in a moment. But what would happen if in saying hi to someone, how you doing, fine, they instead said, actually, you know what? I'm not doing too good. You got a minute? Oh, well, would you look at the time? I wasn't expecting that. No, I'll take some time. How you really doing? I'm actually not doing very well. That's faith and works. That's faith that works. He's going to show them. He even rhetorically asks them, do you want evidence? Because I got plenty of evidence over here. Exhibit A. Exhibit B, Exhibit C. You want evidence? I'll give you evidence. I'll give you evidence that faith without deeds is useless. He's going to do that in the verses next that follow. But what he's saying is that faith is evidenced by action. Yeah, you're saved by faith, but I want to see that faith in action. Let's see that faith work. Faith that works. We actually spent some time on this when we were in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 2. The writer of Hebrews says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But, listen to this, the word which they heard did not profit them. And here's why. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, it was useless. It was inconsequential. It was of no value. It was dead. Why? Because it wasn't mixed. There needs to be an action / reaction. Here's an illustration. When you mix hydrogen with oxygen, there's a reaction that takes place. See, the hydrogen is merely hydrogen by itself, and so too is oxygen merely oxygen by itself. I know that's deeply profound. However, when you mix the two, hydrogen mixed with oxygen, the molecules react. And when the existing molecular bonds break, new bonds are formed between oxygen and hydrogen atoms. This reaction then results in an explosive release of energy and produces water. Gotta have them both. H2O. Hydrogen, two parts, oxygen. By themselves, useless. What am I going to do with hydrogen? Here, I got some hydrogen for you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Here's some oxygen. Well, that might be a different story, but you mix the two together, now we're talking. And that's the whole point. So too is this true for us. Such that There's an action again slash reaction that works when mixed with faith, which is why it is that faith works. How you doing? Did you get that? Are you following? Are you tracking? Okay, that's the faith that works. Listen, I'm not going to go out and get anything that doesn't work. This thing doesn't work. I'm going to take it back, get my money back, right? It doesn't work. It's useless. What am I going to do with this thing? Well, that's your faith. What are you going to do with it? It's useless. It's of no value. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It has absolutely no benefit, no value to me whatsoever. Bear with me on this. This is why pastors teach topically and not expositionally, by the way. They stay as far away as they can from passages like this. And here's why. You'll have someone say, yeah, you know, I went forward at a crusade, or I repeated a prayer, and they make a profession of faith. They claim to be a Christian. I believe in God. You know, that's the hardest one to share the good news of salvation with, is someone who thinks they're saved when they're not. I would much rather have them, you know, fight back. Because now we got something here. When they're combative with you and no, and then you're going back and forth because that's the Holy Spirit working. But how far are you going to get with someone that thinks they're saved? Yeah, I believe. Okay, well then maybe you quote James chapter 2 and tell them that, you know, that you can introduce them to a demon who also believes. Okay, that's the last one. Last time I'll do that one. So you went forward at this crusade. You repeated this prayer back in 19. You know, it's a long time ago when it starts with 19. Okay, for you younger people, we'll say back in, you know, the 2000s. Is that better? Yeah, I believed. I went forward. I prayed a prayer. Okay. Where's the fruit? Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Where's the good deeds? Oh no, I'm saved by faith, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I know that. But if you're saved and I know it, then your life should surely show it, and it doesn't. There's no evidence of it. Well, what do you mean there's no evidence of it? Well, there's no evidence that you're saved. You say you believe, and there's certainly no evidence, because if there was evidence, there would have been some action, reaction. Something would have changed. The hydrogen is still hydrogen, and the oxygen is still oxygen. There's never been any action or reaction that's taken place to change you. I see no evidence. Case dismissed. That's it. All right. Well, it gets worse. So on this third one, you ready? Verses 21 through 26. It's evidence of righteousness. Now, this is so interesting. In fact, when I was preparing for this teaching today, I went back into my archived notes, and I realized that the Apostle Paul, when writing to the church in Rome, in Romans, he brings up this very thing. In fact, he echoes what James says concerning Abraham, but he brings in as evidence David, that it was accounted unto him as righteousness. His faith was accounted unto him as righteousness. Now listen carefully, because this is the evidence, the forensic evidence, if you prefer, that James is presenting concerning faith, and the evidence that will be the result of faith. It'll be evidenced by the righteousness, and you will be deemed righteous by virtue of this faith. And here's the evidence. And he draws two very contrasting examples. The first one, no problem for them, because it's Father Abraham. And again, Paul does the same thing to the Roman church, but he brings up Abraham, the father of the Jews. And it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Why? Because he put feet to his faith by what he did. Oh, here's Abraham by faith. Remember Hebrews 11? By faith, the hall of faith, we called it. But by faith, he did. Oh, would to God that it could be said of us, by faith, J.D. did. This is what he did because of his faith. This is what Abraham did because of his faith. And because he did that, it was accounted unto him as righteousness. So this is fine and dandy. We're doing great. Just smashing. I love that word, smashing. And then he had to go up and bring up a Gentile prostitute. Well, don't get all snobby now. Rahab. You remember her? Well, you should, because she's actually in the lineage of the Savior of the world. Let that sink in. Why is he? I mean, come on, James, wait a minute here. Abraham, okay, I get it. And then her? What's up with that? Oh, I'll tell you what's up with that. The common denominator between her and Abraham is that they put feet to their faith. And Abraham might be representative of the Jewish people, but this prostitute, Rahab, was representative of the Gentile people. So basically, you've covered all your bases, as they say. And for James to bring up what she did, and it was accounted unto her, as righteousness. Why? Because she had this action that was the result of her faith when she protected those two spies. And the action was, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do because of my faith. I believe. I believe you believe. Because, you know, sometimes someone can say you believe, they believe, and you don't believe they believe. I'm not doing very well today, am I? But I'm just going to, Holy Spirit, you have to take it from there. I believe. I don't believe you believe. Rahab, I believe. Oh, I believe you believe. Why do you believe that I believe? Because look what you're risking your life. You're risking your life. And the promise to her was, if you do this, God, because that was her ask. This is a big get. I believe and I know what's coming, and I want myself and my family to be saved from that. Okay. And it's so fascinating. The typology is just off the charts. She takes a scarlet colored garment and puts it out the window. Oh, the typology. By the way, this time doesn't permit. Don't get me started. I don't need any help. I can do it all by myself, believe me. But it was a prophetic picture of Jesus who would take the scarlet sin, though our sins be as scarlet, Isaiah says, and make them white as snow. This is a woman of ill repute. Ah, and she's in the lineage of the Savior of the world. Just to be a woman. Came out so wrong. Let me try that again. Be gracious to me. You are. But you have to understand, in the Middle East, in that culture, women were, well, here's the Jew. Okay, Lord, fine. The Jews had a prayer. Thank you, God, that I wasn't born a Gentile, a dog, or a woman. Happy Mother's Day. So, that's what they thought about women. And in my Arab culture, sadly, especially as it relates to Islam, which, please don't mix the false religion of Islam with the race. That is not in the Middle East. They have women are nothing. Women are nothing. And the Savior of the world would not only come from a woman, but a prostitute. That should give every single one of us hope. I remember the study we did on the lineage of the Savior of the world when we were in our verse-by-verse study in Matthew. This is many years ago now. Such a powerful study. Oh, man, when you go back into, I'm not going to go there. Again, I don't need help. I can do this all by myself. But there's a guy in there. Anyway, it's unbelievable that Jesus would come from that ancestry, that lineage, on Mary's side of the family tree. Well, what's the point? The point is that your faith that works will be evidenced by the righteousness, and it would be accounted unto you as righteousness. So yeah, she's saved by faith, but it's a faith that saves, which is what James is trying to get them to understand. And that's why he asks them rhetorically, you say, anyone can say they believe, that anyone can say they have faith, but does that faith save? Is it a faith that saves? Well, I don't know. I'll tell you. If it's a faith that saves, it will be evidenced by what you do. It'll be evidenced by the actions. I got saved 40 years ago. And it was, you know, everybody's testimony is different and doesn't mean anything if, you know, for you it wasn't as dramatic, but for me it was way dramatic. I mean, it was, you talk about the guttermost to the uttermost. I mean, really, it's a Rahab, if you will. And it was so obvious that this wasn't a phase. I'll never forget my friend's mom, when my friend asked her, man, he's really changed. You know, he was like the worst. He's the one that got us doing all this. Anyway, that's too much. I'm not going to go there. But man, he's like overnight, he's different. And this friend's mom said, oh, it's just a phase. A phase? Oh, really? I'll show you. Watch this. 40 years later. You know how it is in high school. You have those. This is not good, by the way, because, you know, most likely to succeed. You know, they, come on, don't look at me like that. You had that, right? You know, I wasn't even on the list. You know, it was like, you know those pictures that, and they have all your, you know, accomplishments, you know, ASB president, you know, the, you know, valedictorian, or, you know, this, and, you know, Letterman's Club, and, you know, some of my classmates, you know, just scrolled a list. And my picture's next to it, and it's like, it's all white underneath. There was just nothing there. That's okay, because that's whom God chooses and uses. Because he chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I know I'm kind of going off here, and we're almost done. I'm going to bring it in for a close, but you know what I love? I love it when people, especially a newcomer, or maybe they're visiting or they've come back, and they'll say something to me to the effect of, I mean, you know, the look on their face is priceless. It's kind of like, I love that, because I know what they're thinking, because I can read their minds. They're thinking, you? Wow. If God could, this is a compliment, by the way. I'm not insulted at all by this. If God could speak through someone like you, he can use me. That's the point. What is that evidence of? Faith. Faith. I'm saved by grace through faith. And this is what has come as a result. God gets all the glory. I say I have faith, and you're looking at my life going, yeah, that guy got faith. That guy got faith. What do you mean? Well, look at him. Look at what he's doing. You don't do that if you don't have faith. If you have faith, you do something like that. That's faith. It's evidenced by, and it's accounted unto you. See, and this again is Hebrews, and I don't mean to go back to Hebrews, but I need to, because we all know it, we say it, we sing it, we memorize it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Now think about this. In other words, I would argue and venture to say there's not a one of us here today that doesn't want to please God. I mean, could you imagine somebody wakes up in the morning and thinks of, I wonder what I could do today to displease God? If that's you, we need to lay hands on you after the service. No, we want to please God. Right? We want to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord, right? But here's the thing. If I don't have faith, I'm not pleasing to God. Well, I want to please God. Okay, then. Faith. If without faith it's impossible to please God, that means that with faith it's possible to please God. Hey, then I'm going to have faith. Let me take it a step further, and we're almost done. Think this through with me. God takes notice of, he's not just pleased by our faith, but he takes notice of our faith when we do something about our faith. I almost, and I know they have clinical terms for this, but this is how I I see God in heaven. I just see him standing there going, okay, all right, what's he going to do? Do. All right, he talks a big talk. A man of faith. Or how about this one? A man of the cloth. I never got that one. A man, okay, let's see. What's he going to do? You guys ready? You ready? Oh, wow. Did you hear what he just asked for? That's faith. Get down there. I am so pleased by that. So blessed because of that. Because he did something about that. I want you to get down there because I can't resist. That's faith. Can you imagine? Let's get back to the Rahab real quick, just to finish it up. Can you imagine what happened in the heavens when she put feet to her faith and did what she did? You have to understand that her dwelling was actually, we're told this in the detail of the narrative in Joshua, her dwelling was in the wall. That's some expensive real estate. Location, location, location. She had a nice place. Problem. That's usually the first thing that comes crashing down is the city walls. And that's where you live? Sorry, we can't help you out. If you had a different location, we might be able to, you know, like if you lived on 5th Street or 6th Street, but you're right here in the wall, that's the first thing that's going to come down. But God was so pleased by her faith that her place was untouched. Untouched. Can I say it like this? God finds our faith irresistible. He cannot resist when we put feet to our faith, because that's a faith that works. So I'll say like James, you show me your faith, or you say you have faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. That's faith. That's faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you're going to have to take it from here, as you're always so faithful to. Because now it's really the Holy Spirit that does the work of applying this to our lives, Lord. Please, Lord, don't let us mix up or mess up when it comes to faith and works, so that we have a biblical understanding of the relationship between faith and works. Lord, we want to be numbered amongst those of whom it is said, wow, they say they have faith, and I believe it. Oh, that our faith would be evidenced by our actions, our works, our good deeds. Thank you, Lord, for your word, as tough sometimes as it is. It's good. May not want to hear this. Maybe for some it's a rebuke. But we need to hear this, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.